ترن 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 ترن.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests.
Good morning, Darren. The time is exactly 9:00.
Recording in progress.
1 minute to go on my side, but we can start, Chairperson.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll start. I just want to check. Are we ready to start?
Yes, Chairperson, we can start.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, honorable members, support staff, members of the public on the platform, media, ladies and gentlemen, you are all welcome to the meeting of the Standing Committee on Appropriations. We are dealing with public hearings today on the Adjustment Appropriation Bill 2020-2021. As you know, that after the Minister of Finance, MTBS, then we started with the process of the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, which is a bill which deals with the allocations to the three spheres of government of the funds from the raised from the national revenue, and then we finished that one. Then we started with this adjustment appropriation bill. So today we are meeting with COSATU, and we would like to welcome them, and Amanda.Mobi. We also would like to welcome them. But before we proceed, Darren, do we have any apologies?
Chairperson, yes, we received two apologies from Mr. Sheikh Imam, and then Ms. Lonyana also apologized.
Let's note those apologies.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mlenzana.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. Chairperson, I also have an apology for 11 o'clock.
Perfect.
I'm not sure how far will the meeting be by that time.
Let's see how far we'll be. It's okay. It's noted.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I take it we have Comrade Matthew from COSATU who will start. Comrade Matthew, I think we'll give you 20 minutes for your presentation. And then after that, I don't know who's leading Amanda.Mobi. Darren?
Chairperson, we have Ms. Tlu Sepoa. I'm not sure if she's the leader of the delegation. There's another person, Paul M. But they can explain who's leading, Chairperson. But they are on the phone.
They are on the platform. Amanda.Mobi will then come after COSATU, and you definitely indicate who's in your delegation, Amanda.Mobi. Then after that, we'll allow members of the committee to interact with your presentations. You are all welcome and good morning. COSATU, please come in.
No, good morning, Comrade Chair. Apologies. It's been a long time. Thanks for giving us Chair, Comrade. Thanks for giving us space to just to share our views on the Adjustments Appropriation Bill. So let me just share our presentation quickly.
Are you fine with that? Yeah, 20.
Yeah, no, that's more than enough, Comrade Chair. That's more than enough. I'll just run straight through it, Chair. I think just for us around the economic and fiscal context, I won't go into too much, but just to state that from our vantage point, where we start off as COSATU, is that we are in the deepest recession in 100 years. The economy needs every bit of stimulus it can get. we would have seen the last Thursday, sorry, I didn't update this part, Chair. Unemployment has pushed past 44%, is now 46%, and it's going to continue to rise. Millions are now, I think about 27 million now, are dependent upon the state for some sort of social grants or relief. We've seen thousands of companies closing. In the restaurant sector alone, 11,000 restaurants closed in the past year and a half. The question we are sensitive to the state is really, the fisc is really bleeding billions to corruption, to wasteful expenditure, tax evasion, mismanaged SOEs and municipalities. And of course, many of our SOEs are in serious crises, and the economy is hindered by an unreliable energy supply. But we do agree with Treasury that we do need to have a more affordable debt trajectory. And of course, I think we also need to acknowledge the frustration of workers and members of the public. Chair, I think just before getting to the bill itself, I mean, I think our frustration with the MTPBS as a whole is that it's really silent on a mass stimulus plan. It largely focuses on budget cuts through the wage bill freezes and across the board departmental cuts. We feel there is a danger of austerity at all costs versus plugging the holes in the state and stimulating the economy, which we think is a more sustainable solution. So we do hope in the budget speech in February, we'll really see a mass stimulus program to kickstart the economy, in particular key growth sectors. But this must include funding as well from the DFIs and the private sector too. Chair, I think a large part of the adjustment appropriations does cater for the current public service wage agreement. So I think we do welcome that and support that. It was not an easy thing to achieve, I think, from all sides. It was a difficult thing even for unions because members felt quite aggrieved by the wage freeze in the previous year. And this was a below inflation increase. Much of it was a once-off gratuity payments. But I think also a lot of unions wanted to assist government to stabilize the fiscal ship, so to speak. Chair, I think members always ask us as COSATU, so what are we proposing around the wage bill? We think there is some ways to protect workers, especially low and middle income workers, nurses and teachers, police officers, but also to assist the state to stabilize. We think some of them are simple. One is to respect collective bargaining, which builds a culture of trust, makes it easier to sell negotiations and compromises, and to engage bargaining councils on matters that affect those workers, like the wage bill, and to simply honor those agreements. When we don't honor agreements, it makes it very difficult in the future to convince members to agree to an agreement. We think there is space and a need to establish a single collective bargaining regime for the entire state, so to include the SOEs, the entities, etc., not just the 800,000 public servants. We think there is a need, honourable members, for a wage cap on senior managers, in particular the SOEs and entities, where often their salary levels are higher than what the president himself earns. We do think that politically, if you want to sell a compromise, then we need to see the leadership leading from the front. So we think there should be a cut in what ministers, premiers, the president, SOE management, etc. earn. And we think we do need to further reduce some of the ministerial handbooks' excessive perks, for example, spouses traveling overseas. We are quite worried, Comrade Chair, about the headcount cuts in the police and the teachers, and that's been quite worrying. Chair, the other kind of key part of the adjustment appropriations has been a lot of the funding for the presidential employment stimulus program. That to date, with 11 billion rand to date, has helped create over 550,000 jobs. It helps provide young people with a salary, with a learning experience. I think we really want to appreciate and welcome the doubling of that to 74 billion rand over the MTEF period, 24 billion rand a year on average. That really is a helpful and a welcome boost. So I think, shall we think we should even see how can we build upon that further? Chair, just to speak to some of the individual departments, I think we are worried about basic education, that allocations to it over MTEF are below CPI. We were quite worried about the shifting of 97 million rand from sanitation, where there's a huge backlog, to appointing maths teachers. And it's great to have maths teachers, but the cut in sanitation is worrying. And this comes against the backlog, Comrade Chair, of 1,000 schools having been identified this year to receive adequate sanitation. And the department has only achieved 20% of that. And we seemingly don't have a plan to ever resolve this issue. So, Chair, we do really think it is time that Parliament does hold the Minister and the DG accountable, and that the department should be required to table a realistic plan at Parliament to ensure all schools do have access to water and decent sanitation by the end of 2022, This is not a complicated thing. It simply requires political will and managerial competency. Chair, on the health front, again, we're worried about, in the midst of a pandemic, and aging health infrastructure, which has really taken huge blows over the past year. Apologies for that. over the MTF, we're looking at a cut of about 0.6%, sorry, allocation of 0.6% growth to health, which in effect is the cut. Having said that, Chair, we do welcome in the Adjustment Appropriations Bill an overall 2.2 billion rand increase, and specifically 2.3 billion rand for the fight against COVID-19, the employment of nurses, other health workers, 246 million rand for employment of medical interns, and an additional 50 million rand under the Presidential Employment Program for primary healthcare workers. So those are quite useful things, but we do feel that over the MTF, we do need to reverse the cuts to the department and to NHI. Chair, one of the things we've really struggled with in this pandemic has been that governors run a very low-key media and publicity campaign to persuade, to educate, to mobilize society on the need to vaccinate. When you've engaged with the colleagues from GCIS, they've cited they have simply a lack of funds. But in the Adjustment Appropriations Bill, there was a cut to the funding of about 5 million rand. So to us, this doesn't make sense. We think we should have been resourcing the GCIS and help to run a mass education campaign on why we should vaccinate, to mobilize society, and that the 150 million rand that was caught in controversy in the digital vibes issue should be returned to the state and allocated to GCIS. So on employment and labor, we do want to welcome...
Comrade Matthew?
Aye, Comrade Chair?
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you want to drink water? Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I got a bit of a flu since yesterday. My apologies for that, Comrade Chair, but I have got coffee with me. Apologies okay. for that. And nowadays, Comrade Chair, you don't know, is a flu COVID or what is it? But so my apologies for that, Comrade Chair. I've just had coffee quickly. Comrade Chair, on the Department of Employment and Labour, I think we do want to welcome the 245 million rand under the Presidential Employment Programme. That is really welcome. But on the CCMA front itself, Chair, we're quite worried that there's a cut of about 100 million rand per annum or 300 million rand over the MTF period. And this occurs, Comrade Chair, during a context when 2.1 million workers have lost their jobs in the last 18 months. And many workers have gone to the CCMA to get assistance around cut wages, dismissals, working in dangerous conditions, etc. So this is really, it puts huge pressure on the CCMA where they've had to reduce the number of commissioners they've employed to, there's a backlog of cases, etc. Normally you would have a 1 month waiting period at the CCMA for your case to be heard. It's now 3 months. We think there is a need to reprioritize to give support to the CCMA. And as a gesture on our own front, Comrade Chair, we've supported NEDLAC diverting 10 million rand from its budget. It's a very small budget, but still, that's about 20% of its budget to the CCMA to assist workers who have lost jobs or need help, and specifically also to help upgrade the call center and the virtual platforms to help workers lodge cases virtually. It's a drop in the ocean for CCMA, or 10% of what they need, but we thought also might help to encourage other entities in the Department of Labor, Family, or CETAs, et cetera, to provide solidarity too. I think going forward, I would hope to see the CCMA cuts being reversed. Comrade Chair, on the social development front, again, we're worried that in the MTF period, we speak about cutting the budget to social security by 16.9%, in essence, the cutting of the 350 COVID grant. Our proposal on that front is that we should be extending that grant, see if we can make it permanent, can we increase it to the food poverty line, and let's address the challenges facing it, but in essence, it's a basic income grant. And the fact that you have about 8 million people dependent on it, that you have long queues at the post office, speaks to the impact it has on society. We simply can't afford to leave 8 million people without any source of income. Ideally, we need to get people into jobs, but in the short and medium term, let's give people a helping hand. On the other front, on social development, Comrade Chair, we do want to appreciate the 219 million given to employ social workers, and the 181 million for early childhood development grants, which has employed 70,000 ECD workers. So these are all really positive interventions we want to appreciate. Comrade Chair, around DTIC, on the positive fronts, we do want to applaud the 800 million rand for employment opportunities on the presidential employment program, the 200 million for critical infrastructure, the 500 million for IDC industrial financing. That's quite a positive turn from previous cuts. And I think a lot of the money we would have seen has helped companies in KZN and Gauteng, who really suffered great losses in the violence in July. But we are worried about some cuts, including the 104 million for export market and investment assistance, the 337 million for manufacturing development incentives, and the 200 million for SEZs. We think if there's one department we should be protected from cuts, it really should be DTIC. And we should see, in fact, how can we reinforce the work? Because if we can save jobs, create companies, other issues will be addressed afterwards. Chair, I think we want to really support under Treasury the Neighbourhood Development Partnership Grant, the 841 million, which has already employed about almost 33,000 people for neighbourhood cleaning and greening. Let's see how can we enhance it, make it sustainable. But we are concerned, Comrade Chair, about the cut of 52 million rand for financial accounting and supply chain management systems. And this is in a context when government supply chain systems, accounting systems across the board are very porous. We lose billions of rands to corruption, wasteful expenditure. And we think that should have been reconsidered. Chair, on the transport one, it's a bit perplexing. The City of Cape Town couldn't spend 1.3 billion rand on its My City service. Yet in the City of Cape Town, Metro Rail has collapsed. We have entire lines in the Cape Flats servicing Langa, Bontebok, Guguletu, Khayelitsha, which was plain. They simply have collapsed completely. And the city couldn't spend 1.3 billion. It either should have been allocated to assist Metro Rail, or they should have made sure they spend it to give public commuters alternatives to the collapse of the Plaza. So I think the crisis facing transport and Plaza really is a huge crisis for the economy and for workers. And they should be required to table a plan to rebuild Plaza at Parliament and be held accountable for its implementation. But they don't seem to be moving with much speed on that front, Honourable Chair. Chair, just getting towards the end around water and sanitation. We are worried about the rollover of 582 million rand for the Mfuleni municipality, which is the Vaal River Infrastructure Program. As we know, that's been a matter on the agenda for quite some time. And we really think there's a need to kind of conclude on that front, Comrade Chair. Chair, on higher education, look, I think we must appreciate the need for government to reprioritize funding given the many, many crises it has to juggle simultaneously, and it cannot satisfy everybody all the time. But we are worried about the 1.3 billion rand cut in university infrastructure projects, given the backlog of student accommodation, and also I think given COVID-19, the need to expand the size of classrooms to adjust for social distancing. But we do want to applaud the allocation of 90 million rand for the employment of junior lecturers through the presidential employment program. And we think that's a positive investment in that front, Chair. Chair, on the National Youth Development Agency, we note that 429 million allocated to them for the presidential employment program. We hope, Comrade Chair, that money will not be abused. We're very wary around the NYDA, and we hope that with the new NYDA board, which looks quite promising, with some good people on it, that this money will be spent well. And again, everything that's an area that Parliament would also be well placed to keep a close eye on, given some of the previous challenges that have occurred there. Chair, just on other departments quickly. I think on the environmental affairs, we want to welcome the 250 million for employment opportunities. Similarly, around agriculture, the 750 million, again, for employment opportunities. Tourism, the 159 million for employment opportunities under the presidential employment program. That's really welcome stuff, and those are huge investments, especially on agriculture. Chair, I think on the small business development, again, we appreciate it. It'll never be enough, but we do welcome the 138 million for small businesses, for township and rural entrepreneurship. Chair, just on the COGTA one, as the last department I'll touch on. I mean, I think, Chair, members know much better than us, but the AG reports on the dysfunctionality of many municipalities are well known. There are horror stories across the board. But we don't see much in the MTPPS. But what's the plan to fix these municipalities? The minister did allude to it. But having said that, Comrade Chair, we do welcome the allocation of 284 million rand for the Presidential Employment Programme. But I think what we really hope to see going forward from government is a clear stabilisation, recovery and repositioning plans for these municipalities and a roadmap to move us towards district development model and a sustainable path for local government. So in conclusion, Comrade Chair, I think we hope that in February we'll see a budget which really stimulates the economy and supports job creation. I think the allocations to the Presidential Employment Programme really are a welcome step in that regard. We would want to see relief for the unemployed, like the 350 grant being extended, but much more measures around tackling corruption, wasteful expenditure, rebuilding the SOEs in the state, especially PRASA and Transnet and Eskom. But also I think we'd want to see government assisting us in a collective bargaining front. But having said the comment, just lastly, but I think to state the obvious, workers and voters are really losing faith. The local elections result was a wake-up call for all of us. The turnout and the fact that all political parties were bleeding support. Many municipalities are hung councils. And I think that's a message from the public at large when only one out of four eligible voters voted. It really is a wake-up call for all of us that the country is not happy and they are rapidly losing patience. We have 2 years to fix these things, Comrade Chair. And that includes us from the Labour Front as well. So let me stop there, Comrade Chair. Thanks very much for giving us the opportunity. Thanks, Comrade Chairperson.
Thank you, Comrade Matthew. Please don't run away after Amanda Dotmobi. We'll allow other members to interact with your presentation. Thank you so much. Amanda Dotmobi, good morning and welcome. Please introduce yourselves and the team that is with you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning to everyone. I'm Joe Alba from Amanda.Mobi. I think a lot of members here do know us and are very familiar with the kind of presentations we usually do. We have prepared messages for members of the community that were sent ahead of the MTBPS to the minister. And we please keep in mind that we look forward to the budget speech in 2022. My colleague, Paul, will play the presentation. Thank you. Hey, Paul, can you please assist with the volume? We can't hear anything.
No, this volume is fine, Chairperson.
Is it? Okay.
No, but...
Yes, it's fine.
But we don't hear what Coco is saying. I think that's...
You don't hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Apologies. Let me try again.
Ningu Bobu Tobo was the Maristek and the Umeran Pomos the Piping. Ningu Bobo Osebele Kalazwe Ni Egan and Abano Boba as the Maristek. Says Hambes are pinned up pinned as Hambasia Lapo in Parliament. So Lawood is Erukushulela in the Siphinde kaningi iningi siphindele sicele basibize batha sizisothula ikhalazo zethu ePhalamene. Uma sifika kuba abantu abasilalela impela bathi yezwakala indaba yogogo. Emva kwalokho siphinde emuva kuthule ukuthi buye siphindele futhi kube yiso sona leso basibize sizise iPhalamene lifune ne right ukuthi size kuyona. Number one was Bizwata, Sisu, Pungusmana, say Union Building. Try Union Building. lapho ke saphoxeka kakhulu ngoba yena asimbonanga wathumele sethumele umuntu kwagcina lapho kwaze sekuze kwafika iCovid. I-COVID esifike yasivimba sakwazi ukuthula ngathi asisakwazi ukuthi size sizokhala kodwa sibe sisakhala savinjwa i-COVID. Kodwa ne-COVID isiphinde ya-eda khona lapho kulezo nsizi zethu ezazinazo ekuhambe nabantu abaningi abaningi i-COVID. Sisasele sohogogo sisamike leso sikhali sesikalile ngoba sasicelile sicele nokuthi at least kube nje isikali u-2.5 imali yogogo. Singabona ukuthi senze njani ngoba siyakwazi ukusipatanisa kwakuyona le encane esiyitholayo. Kuze kube yimanje asikatholi siyambona siyambonga ke noDipopo okuyena othe asikhulume sisho uma sisafisani ukuthi ukukhuluma siyavuselela-ke ukuthi ene sisekhona. Njengoba esephumile kumboweni nangokugudungana usefikile yingakho sesithumela-ke lokhu. Ukuthi kakakhe eshaya uFebruwari eseqala ukugodongane ekhiphe isabelo semali
umtholane ngubani ugogo kaMpumuza ePipeline eMaritzburg. Bandla kade babesibiza ePhalamende bethi asize size ngempela bethi bazosikhulumela ukuthi sithole imali yempesheni lutho asiyitholi. NoKarim kwenze ngathi uyathembisa uzosinikeza lutho. Sibonge uDipo loyo ngoba uthe ufuna ukuzwa ukuthi izalukwazi sisekhona yini, abakamandla asizana nabo ukuthi sisekhona izalukwazi, cha sisekhona siyayidinga impela imali. Abasize basinike o-2500 socikiyela kangcono ngoba manje iy'ngane ziye esikoleni asinayo imali, oma wazo abasebenzi. Iy'ngane zigibele omalume ngoba uma zihambela ziyahlukunyezwa. Manje asinayo-ke imali, sicela nisisize ebandla nisikhuphulele imali ngoba nogesi, ugesi ubiza ngendlela esimanga, nogesi wenu ohluphayo. Uhulumeni siyamvotela ngoba kuwuhulumeni wethu, sithi uzosicabangela lutho, akasicabangeli. Kulo umboweni wadlala ngathi ukuthi usikhuphulele imali wasinika o-R30 into engathi ishu. Sesithembe yena-ke lo ngqongqoshe omusha ukuthi uzosifakela imali ukuthi akhumbule azi ukuthi zikhona izalukwazi ezidinga imali. Siyacela kakhulu ngathi ningasikhuphulela imali lisinikeze o-R2500 ngoba sinenkinga kakhulu. Ukuthi nje sicela nebhonasi bandla nisibhonasise ngoba manje asikwazi ukuthi sokwenze njani. Iy'ngane asikwazi ukuyithengela le mali iphelele endlini futhi nako ukudla okunganeli, ukudla kubiza ngendlela esimanga. Ngiyabonga imeli ugogo wakaMpumisi.
Government should have to increase the old age grant to 2500. The reason is the food or grocery is so expensive, nobody can afford. Then we need money in order to survive. Secondly, some of the trainees are supporting kids, more than 8 kids in their family. And those kids, some of them are over 18 years, whereby they don't qualify for child support grant. This is our government. And I know you are going to do something about this. We are suffering. We are suffering. Please help us. We rely upon you, our government. We rely upon you, Parliament. We rely upon you, Minister of Finance, and the President as a whole.
Nale Brown's message is, hi, the minister can terminate the 350. He must increase it. I am an unemployed mother of 2 children, and that SASSA grant is not even enough for us. Please fight for us who are unemployed so that everyone must receive a basic income grant.
Bengithanda ukuthi imali ikhushulwe noma ingane iyodwa mhlawumbe ihole noma 700 ngoba kunabantu abaphila ngempesheni kuphela abangakwazi abangakhoni ukuthi bathole umsebenzi. At least nami ngani mazi ngithi kube 1.4 ngoba kunemizi evuliwe through ini le mali le grant. Owami umbono ilo, if ungqongqoshe lo musha ngonyawo zawo ephrimary efaka imali, akafake imali ebonakalayo
siyavela ukuthi uDade Enoch ayinyuse imali singavuyela oko kakhulu ngoba kaloku nale mali esiyifumanayo ewe siyayibulela yona ukuba siyifumana singayisebenzelanga kodwa ngesingayivuyela futhi kwiphinde uzinyusenyana nje ithe xaxa ngoba izinto zi-expensive izinto ziyadura ziimpahla zabantwana yonke into iyadura so uyaunderstanda ngapha zii-transport ngapha ziintoni and ngapha u-unemployed and a single parent iye isibulale loo nto leyo kakhulu because of like most yoodata babantwana ngoku abantu abasayingeni iindaba zabantwana bayabanika so wena njengomama you can't throw away your kids you have to just look after them so ishule mali singathandi uba mayinyukenyana at least izawukwazi uba mayibhalansi apho nalapho uyaunderstand so singayivuyela nyani kutata inoka nganyusa imali singavuyela kakhulu futhi ngoba kaloku intlupheko inintsi e-South Africa and more especially for thina abantu bahlala ezilokishini poverty is too much unemployment is too much like izinto ezininzi nje yazi I can name them ukuze kutshona ilanga but please that we know please please that just try suyusele nje please sikwazi ukuthi sikwazi ukuthenga ukutya oku-enough for abantwana bethu nalapho nalapho kuntu okufuneka sikwazi ukuthi sikubheje
bona kamalam ngema precious mama wabantwana abayi-4 bafana ababili namantombazana amabili ngina 37 years of age angisebenzi ngiphila nge-grant yabantwana bam abathathu ngiyajabulela ukuthi imali ikhuphuke ngibona kuzongisiza somewhere somehow njengomuntu ongasebenzi njengomuntu ongasavumelekile kuhulumeni ukuthi uma kuthiwa kuvela ama-post angi-apply because I'm over age so kukho esengingakwenza sengifana nomuntu ongathi I'm an elderly ngigugile kwaye mina ngiyafila ukuthi sengakhona ukuthi ngisebenze kodwa-ke ngokomthetho-ke wase-South Africa-ke kukho yena engakwenza bengajabulela imali bengakhuphuka cabanga ukuthi impilo yey'ngane zami izobe ithi ukuba ngcinana
nakenanakukanetisholt awana tshwanise i-inkhisiwe because 460 kenyane thatha ngilohole bene ngiyatuka kulishopong diaparo so how come or motho afforde diaparo le dijo ka 460 and then bana ba ya dikolong o kry-e le go ngwana o nna kgole le sekolo tshwanetse a namele transport or ngwana o ya cretšhen tshwanetse a patele each and every month o ya cretšhen so 460 is very small
sicela nakuye ungqongqoshe wezezimali ukuthi asibonelele ukudla kuyadura yingakho thina esingathathi intweni sicele ukuthi asilekelele asizwele abonisalane nathi abonelane nathi kukho konke siyacela ukuthi asisize uhulumeni wethu
Esto me gusta. My name is Mauro Pozo. I'm an unemployed caregiver. Well, that is my only income. The minister, I would like to appeal to you and to tax the rich people so that our money could be increased. Mr. Minister, we live in such poor living conditions. That money is not barely enough for us to carry us through the month without children.
Hayi ndinkwasanda sinike ndicela indoda yomntu yasibonelelo somamuza womama abantwana iphumelele ngoba thina boomama siyasokola kakhulu wesinxongeafumane umsebenzi sicela ugovernment asibonelele
sanibonani igama lami nguMthembi Innocent Jagadebe nami ngingomunye othola imali le i-350 ngingafisa ukuthi u-minister of finance angazama ukuthi asikhuphulele hle imali lena because okokuqala nje mina sengikhulumela kwamina nami esayidini lami ngihlala nobhuti wami o-disabled angikwazi ukuthi ngihambe ngiyofuna umsebenzi because akakwazi ukuzenzela lutho akakwazi kwa ukuzenzela lutho so angikhoni ukuthi ngimshiye ngihambe ngiyofuna umsebenzi ngihleli ngigade yena nemali le eyakhe akekholayo yegrant ayikho enough because sihlala nasemqashweni. So at least if ever thina lama 350 lanka bayazama ukuthi bawakhulise, at least asimithe halfway, although sometimes nayo ingekho enough, kodwa siyacela ukuthi besicela uminister asikhulisele yona imali, because ngempela siphila ebunzimeni, yonke into imali. La esihlala khona sibhadala irenti singasebenzi, sithatha yona imali le yakabhuti wami engimgadile or disabled, kumele sikhiphe imali irenti.
Igama lami ngombathando Johannes. Ilizwe engathanda ukuphosa ku-treasury wethu lenokuba sinesicelo singabalandeli amandla mobi NGO. Okukuba siyamcela wethu njengo-treasury wethu ukuba onke ii-caregivers siyifumane i-R250 kwaye bangabakhathi off. Sinazo nesicelo sokuba noko urhulumente wethu abayenzi sibe i-R624 ngenyanga. Futhi ikwasisicelo kubantu abatsalelwa i-debts okukuba noko urhulumente makatsale ngakumbi kuzokwazi ukwenyuka ingxowa le siphiwa kuyo ezi-350. Ilizwe lam eli
Hi, my name is Dabiyaise. I am a single mother of three children. I am unemployed, but I am breaking people's hay. My social release grant was denied because of the little amount I transferred into my account, which does not last me even a month. I am pleading to Minister Godongwana to please increase the tax of the rich, give more than 250 to all caregivers. We are suffering.
Among some of our demands, honorable members, is to keep the 350 until it is turned into basic income support of at least beyond the upper poverty line, and to also make significant increases to child support grant, as you've heard that a lot of mothers are asking for the increase on the child support grant, to reverse cuts on social spending and properly fund institutions such as the CCMA and the NPA, and to also tax the rich and increase the sugary drinks tax, including the carbon taxes and alcohol taxes. These are some of the campaigns that we have run over the past year that our members have been supporting. Like I said, the basic income support is also one of the most supported demands among the public, and to also tax the rich, to pay for vaccines, to stop budget cuts, and to increase social grants. These are some of the signatures that we sent last year calling for the return of the 350 grant after it was terminated. And a lot of people are supporting that. So we ask that please, the 350 grant must be kept beyond March 2022, and it must be increased and also kept until it is turned into basic income support. That is the end of our presentation. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Siopa. Honourable members, these are the presentations. Can I get indications from the honourable members who would like to interact with the presentations? I'll take the notes.
Mlenzana.
Honourable Mlenzana.
Honourable Peters.
Honourable Sarupen.
Kaiso.
Honorable Kaiso. Honorable Dihale. Honorable Dihale. Any other honorable member? Okay, that's fine. I'll allow Honorable Lenzana to start.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, and once more, good morning. As I have alluded that, but it looks like Chairperson, from the pace of the meeting, I would be able to catch up. Let me welcome the two presentations from the two consistent players within the field of sharpening our tools of thinking as this committee in terms of public hearings, COSATU and Amobi dot. Just one question to each. Comrade Matthew, we welcome your presentation. But look, I see here, Comrade Matthew, that you always decry the cuttings. Now, have you as COSATU looked into the whys for the cut? Have we, for instance, as Parliament, cut where we were not supposed to cut? Have we perhaps cut for the votes which were actually working votes where there would be realizable impact? Or are we cutting money which is unspent? I want this from a COSATU perspective, and also advise them as to would we be correct if as appropriation we say to Treasury, look, instead of pulling back the unused money, but rather inject some kind of a human resource which will assist the affected departments and municipalities such that at the end of the day, they are able to realize the reasoning behind the budget allocation, such that at the end of the day, we do not see this huge underspending. To Dr. Amobi, ngiyabezwa abogogo, ngiyabezwa abogogo, and bakhuluma iqiniso. Nami ngihlala khona lapha ezinaleni. Ngiyayazi impilo yethu. Ukuthi impilo yethu qala ukuthi ugogo ethu nezingane nje akuzona ingane zakhe. Ingane zengane zabo abazukulu. It is in our culture then, Chairperson, where you just cannot break it. But my question to them would be, during census, like for instance, the Stats SA is going to roll out now a census. Are they participating wherein they would be able to through census brief the state on the manner in which the rural setup differs from the urban setup? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mlenzana, Honorable Peters. Honorable Peters.
I'm in trouble. Chairperson, there's people who have taken their space.
Yes,
and allow them. You should allow them. It's their space.
Let me show Honorable Mlenza and Gutena. Oh, my good Basana Negan say, born in practice that way.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take the opportunity also, like Honorable Mlenza, to thank our usual contributors to the adjustment and other SCOWA related matters. And I think we need to appreciate the extent and the work that COSATU and Amandla.mobi goes into doing work for us to be able to get to a point where we can discuss these particular issues. You know, Chairperson, I don't have a lot of questions because the issues that the presenters and the supporting videos have presented are convincing, but I am sitting here asking myself, as Amandla.mobi and as COSATU, where do you suggest, and I know probably this is a rhetoric question, where do you suggest we get the money? If you look at the state of the economy, if you look at the rate of unemployment, you'd realize that even SARS is scraping the bottom of the barrel. And we need to really thank SARS for what they did so that the extension of the SRD can happen. So, abogogo, you know, mina ndikhuliswe ugogo. Lento enichoyo enikhulumayo, it's for me a daily experience, something that I know abogogo go through. Even when these children are getting child support grant, their parents are not contributing or helping the gogos. And one thing about abogogo is that they have this, I don't know what to call it, but I think bogogo, they are overtaxed. Bogogo, they are overtaxed about the things that they are supposed to be doing and contributing. The grant from government is supposed to help bogogo to go through their sunset years easily. Batengi sinkwa, batengi amaswiti, batenge into iperfume, batenge bayo nwabisa nje, bayo tala e beach. Mara abakwazi kwenza kanjalo chairperson. Abakhoni because as bana babone as society rivarwesa morwalo. I fully understand their call because of the cost of living. When you go into a shop, there is no a price for a gogo and a price for a young person. So ukudla kuyadura, and it's understandable. And grandchildren can eat you out of your house, I'm telling you, let alone when there are no food. So I understand fully the issues they are raising. They speak to your heart, and your heart should really be made of stone if you're not going to be able to hear them out. But I'm sitting here as a member of this committee. If the minister says, honorable members, where do I get the money? What is my response to abogogo? Because I would believe that the consistency with which you have made your presentation and the extent of going out to get people to support the motivation is convincing. But still, I hear what Amandla.mobi says and COSATU about the extension of the SRD, the issues related to EBIG. And I'm sure Amandla.mobi could be an advocate to help report to the grannies what government is doing, although it seems to be going at a slow pace in terms of working towards this a basic income grant. I want to say to one of the gogos who are saying the children are above 18. I know that children who are above 18, we call them children, but they are young adults. They qualify for the SRD if they are unemployed and they are not under NSFAS, because NSFAS is government's way also of contributing to the education and breaking the back of intergenerational poverty. So, and the under 18 gets the child support grant. One of the things that I want to ask Amandla.mobi is whether you have ever done a research on the abuse of the grant by those people who are irresponsibly using the grant. There used to be an ability by social workers to get power of attorney to administer grants on behalf of grantees. I was told by the HOD of the Department of Social Development in the Northern Cape that that system is no longer in place. And I couldn't understand why it's not in place, because it used to help those parents who were irresponsible, for lack of a better word, in managing the grant to be able to be helped by professionals who could account to the children's court on how the monies are being used. I want to know from Amandla.mobi, is that not another option? Because the late Minister of Social Development, Minister Zola Skweiya, did say that the grant is not necessarily for the mother or the parent. The grant is for the child, and the grant must follow the child. So it must go to where the grant the child is. Chairperson, can I break here?
Okay, but do come back once you have dealt with Umzukulu. She wants your attention. You are not going to get away with it.
That's not here, Chairperson.
Okay. Hi. Hello.
Greet the Chairperson.
Hello.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Nana. Hello, Nana. How are you?
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go. We're busy building children. Bye-bye. Okay, Honorable Sarupen, please come in.
Thank you very much, Chair, and apologies for the video in Bedford View. We've been without power for a week. So, Chair, if I may, I just want to start with Kosatu's presentation. And the first thing I want to flag is on one of their slides, they said that they want to establish a single collective bargaining and wage regime for the entire state, including SOEs. My question there is, why do they want a single collective bargaining system for the entire state when you've got different kinds of workers and different levels of workers who all have different interests? Management has different interests to people who work lower down. Nurses have different interests to pharmacists and so on and so forth. And how does this make any sense? For me, it looks more like it's a way to be able to cripple the state with a single national strike of every kind of worker when you don't, when demands aren't being met. It does not look like it has any upside. So it does concern me greatly, that particular proposal. But then my second question to Kosatu, Chair, is we've seen massive bloating of the number of workers in, for example, Eskom, where despite the fact that energy output is plummeting, there has been a nearly tripling of its staff contingent in 20 years. What has Kosatu done to argue for the rationalization of these things in state-owned enterprises in particular over time, noting that Eskom has not become any more productive, in fact, it's become less productive, and the same for many, many other state-owned entities. So that's that. Then, Chair, with regards to Amandla.mobi, let me welcome the presentation. But let me also just say this, that because of the Money Amendments Procedures Bill and Related Matters Act, it's not as simple as saying to the public, these six members have the power to extend or expand a grant. It's not up to the six members. There are more than six members on this committee, and I think there are eight, in fact, firstly. But secondly, it is inaccurate because someone has tried to table amendments to the budget in the past. I can tell you that it's extremely complicated. And as much as we would like to, as much as I would have liked to have amended the budget and for all sorts of things, the process requires that you have to get the buy-in of other committees. It has to be done months in advance, and you would need the agreement of the Social Development Committee, for example. You'd also need to do an impact analysis on the fiscus for any changes that you want to make. And so historically, the amendments I've tabled have always been voted down. So I think it's not as simple as saying to the public, these six members have the power, because it really is dependent on the process laid down in the Money Amendments Procedures Bill and Related Matters Act. And I urge Amandla.mobi to go through that if they want the amendments that they propose to be considered, and make sure that they put into the public domain information that is accurate and how that the public can effectively lobby Parliament to get changes to the budget. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Serpin. The Chair has just asked me just to come in while he's attending to something very quick. The next speaker was, it's me. So what I wanted to say, honorable members, is that let me first thank Kosatu for being on point on a number of areas that Comrade Matthews has raised. So they are quite important areas that we also need to, you know, pick them and incorporate as we discuss in our report. But I just want to come on this issue, on the issue of 350. You know, the over 40% unemployment rate in the country is quite worrisome. And one could understand also the impact that COVID-19 has brought to our people, such that now life has become so unbearable and everything has become very difficult to get under this economic circumstance, which then brings in the question as to whether what is going to happen with these over 9 million people who depend on the 350 grants. So automatically it kicks in the question of fast-tracking the issue on basic income grant, you know, as a form of social wage. So because the issue of addressing poverty, it encompasses a lot of things together. It's not only to be looked at the point of 350, but you are addressing a wide range of elements in it to talk to that. So now I would imagine Abo Gogo, Bakulumikunisu, but Kunzi, they are looking after izizukulwana, izizukulwana bafuna bafumane inkaso kubo Gogo. So now lento ethethwa ngogogo ibalulekile because ngakhona abantu abajonge nokwelusa izukulwane baziphile kakuhle. But then it also speaks to this issue of social wage, or rather basic income grant, that as a result of unemployment, the same people who are supposed to look after these children, they found themselves unemployed, and many of them. And they are young, and young women in their numbers. So they found it very difficult to find employment, and they are counted as part of that over 40% unemployment rate in the country. So now they have found it easy to get now support because they are unemployed. So the shortest way to short circuit this problem, they must support them. So I think it's something that we need to look at in that context, because I don't think necessarily they intend, but they must just abandon these children. So there must be a very close look as to what then is supposed to be beyond the end period of this 350. So there must be an alternative way that kicks in, you know, to mitigate poverty and this social relief distress grant, it's also concerned. So there has to be a forward looking on this particular matter. Now, I think CCMA plays a very critical role in far as, you know, also coming in and to help the state where it has a pressure. Now, where the CCMA becomes different in as far as, you know, unable to resolve workplace issues, it brings about the burden of the state, because now there will be a lot of cases that get stuck, and there will be also an element of your cases being brought against unnecessarily against the state. So it was necessary that now, instead of workers facing the difficult situation, the CCM should be in a position to be the first one which has been, you know, given that opportunity to can be an element of, you know, assistance to resolve issues of workers. Because I think if you say the worker who was working and then he has to get dismissed, and then the case or retrench or get unemployed and he has to submit papers for claim, etc. And these papers are going to be responded to after at least 3 months has passed. It brings about a serious burden to that family of that worker. So I think there is supposed to be a way that reprioritization takes place to look very closely as how do we how is the CCMA is being assisted in order to attend to this particular development by reprioritizing fund, you know, properly to assist the CCMA. And we on what COSATU raised, I think is very important, the issue of IDC, you know, industrial finance. Yes, there is no new budget, but reprioritization is where it should also be looked in the context of economic recovery, because we emphasis was made around the issue of building our industry, you know, and also with particular focus on special economic zones. So in the economic recovery plan, so those are the areas that at least when we talk about economic recovery, they should come first in as far as how we prioritize and in terms of financing. So I'm trying to say the reprioritization must also look very closely that it doesn't wipe out the economic recovery plan intentions, which are very good in order to boost the economy. I want to agree with COSATU that, because where you find workers or production, you will find workers. And where you find production, you will also find organized form of, you know, labor organization or a union, because there is what we call production level. So obviously it does tell you that at some stage, employers will organize themselves in this fashion to engage those that are working, and the workers in the form of their union will organize themselves into a union, and they will have a what we call a bargaining council. So it is best when that bargaining council is well organized at the central point, so that the issues do not, there is no disparity. You know, we look at private and the public sector. It helps a lot that there should be a central bargaining point, so that you don't pick up here and lose here and pick up their points and cause a lot of, you know, disjunction in terms of, you know, dealing with parities of wages and all those matters, conditions of working conditions. It's proper that at least you have a centralized bargaining council. And it will be a setback if collective bargaining councils in the country become liquidated at the public service level, and it will promote it will give a leeway to the private sector to also do away with the bargaining council. If this approach could be left, you know, unattended, it will reserve a very bad consequences to the organized formation at that level, and reduce the power of worker, including, you know, the living wage, because there's still more struggle on the issue of the living wage. So, Chairperson, I'm not sure if you are around, but the next person who was to come in, that's the end of my input, and I would like to call in Honorable Clara Dikale.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kaiso, and good morning to the honorable members and the chairperson of the committee. Honorable members touched on many issues. Actually, I would say I was covered in most of the areas. The other thing, when COSATU was doing their presentation, I was unfortunate because the system did chase me out of the room, but then I have to come back When I come back, it was then Amanda.movie that was doing the presentation. So my focus is on them because I managed to hear everything. Chairperson, I have a request to make to Amanda.movie. That, or before I put my request, let me say I appreciate their presentation, and also to say we understand the situation that our people in the city, in Africa, I mean in South Africa, are facing. It's very difficult. I remember when 350 came into picture, it was not... there was no promise that it will come every month, but the request was made that it shouldn't go away, and indeed people are still receiving it. And would also remember that our grannies, way back, they were getting their social grant after 7 months sometimes, or let me just say after some time, because I'm not sure whether, I'm not sure with the month. And this government actually is trying its level best. So my request to them is that if they can, when they talk to these people, if they can act like the pastors in the church, if you go to church while you're having a heavy load in your heart and your mind, the pastor will always promise you that God is in charge and one day things will be fine. So my request to them is that can they sometimes, when they talk to our parents, they show them the trying part that our government is trying, so that they reduce the heavy load of the mind that our grannies and our unemployed South African citizens are facing. And on that note, then we will know that we are together in appreciating the government is trying to do to our people. And on the other hand, we'll then be praying so that the government can have, it can come up with a plan of assisting those who are not working at the end of the day, so that they end up working. And if they work, I know they will get salary and assist the Gogos with their own children in the house, so that the whole burden shouldn't go to our Gogos. So actually I have a plea to make that they should at least assist the government. And we really appreciate our grannies, because these are the people who are faithful. Even when it comes to voting, they won't make a mistake. They will go all out, register to vote, check if ever they are on the system, and they will also go to vote, irrespective of the political parties that they are voting. So these are the people that we cannot really want to lose because of stress. So, Chairperson, it's very difficult, but I wanted to appreciate one other speaker said, if the riches can be taxed so that their tax end up assisting those who are in need. That one I really appreciate, and I would also support that, especially those who are running the mines. Maybe if they can be taxed a lot of money so that it end up assisting these people. And the other thing, if you can make a calculation in the whole country, and check out of our 9 provinces as to how many Gogos are getting the social grant, and add the total amount. Check how many people are getting 350, add the total amount. Check how many kids are getting their child support grant. You will see that really this government is trying its level best. So what we need is to support our government so that at the end of the day, whatever plans they have with regard to the lives of our people, then they end up assisting them. It's painful. This presentation was painful, Chairperson, especially when our grannies are relating the stories of their Vadola Nabavona and their children who are not working. It's painful. But what we need from Amandla.mobi is that they should also assist. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Bihalem. Is there another honorable member who'd like to come in? Honorable members who have already spoken, anything that would like to add? Honorable Nzana, do you want to have a second bite? Honorable Peters, would like to have a second bite?
Yes, sir. Chairperson, allow me not to switch on the video because of the visitors here. And Chair, my question is to Kosatu with regard to the Kosatu knows that the NDP is a vision for us as a country by 2022, I mean not 2020, 2030, by 2030, to have a capable public service. We are in route to the 2030 target. It doesn't look like we are going to meet it. What is the view of COSATU when there are challenges of service delivery, there are challenges of lack of spending, the challenges of over expenditure, irregular over expenditure by the public service and the workforce in particular? And I would want to know from COSATU whether it is in the interest of the workers to have the citizenry reacting like you have indicated in your last slide, that the voters are getting impatient. Because yes, a government is the African National Congress. Yes, public representatives are politicians. But who are the people who are the hands, eyes, ears of government? It is the workers. And I would want to know, as a representative of the workers, what is your view with regard to finishing capacity of the state to deliver when the workers are actually the agents for change and agents for improving the lives of our people? When the road is not built, when and there needs to be an investigation or it needs to be a report, who does that report? When a contract is given, who signs that contract? I mean, giving these simple examples, Chairperson, because I just don't know now what to say. We cannot forever be engaging with workers only with regards to the wage bill, but not on the issue of productivity and capacity and positive outcomes, impact of their work on society generally. So I just wanted to find out from COSATU, but also, has COSATU ever engaged with the National School of Government on where there are gaps, where there are challenges that needs to be closed? I think it is important that we build the capacity of the state truly to deliver to the citizens of this country, and we can only do it through the workers. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sarupen, do you want a second bite? Sarupen? Honorable Kaiso would like a second bite?
No, I'm covered, Chair.
Honorable Tihale, something you forgot?
I said it all, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much. let me join the other members in welcoming the presentations by both COSATU and Amandla.mobi. And needless to say, very important things are being raised. And I must say that some of them, they need the attention of the whole country, so that we try to get some consensus on certain things as to where we are leading the country to. But to start, let me start with COSATU. One thing you are saying is that you would like to see a budget which really talks to appropriate stimulus. What is it that, from your point of view, must happen before you characterize the budget as the budget which is really stimulating growth? That's one. And secondly, you are always here, and if you look at the adjustment appropriations, amongst other things that are being covered there, is question of unspent funds, and two, question of rollovers. You are mute on that one. You are not saying anything, COSATU. Some of the departments, for instance, you are pleading their case. They've underspent and they're rolling over. What's your take on that? What should be done? Perhaps it talks to what Honorable Peters was also saying, because once the budget is out there, we are expecting our employees to make sure that budget is being used for what it was supposed for, effectively, efficiently, and more than anything else, that the services are delivered to our people. So I'm saying you are mute on the question of unspent and rollovers, and why perhaps the role of the public service is when it comes to that. Let me come to Amanda Dotmobi. Again, as I said, I join the oral members in welcoming you have been here and your presentations, and as I was saying, that you are raising issues which are of national importance. But let me start by saying, Ms. Siopa, I thought you were going to start by saying you came during the budget time, if I'm not mistaken, or before, and raised the issue of extending the social grants, the SRD grant, 350 grant. And that happened. Government responded and extended those grants. Just for information, it's about 2 billion rand per month to meet the 350 rand. So I thought perhaps that's where you're going to start, to show that the government is responsive to some of the issues which are raised by the members of the public. And you should also know that we meet a number of members or organizations or members of the public who come, and sometimes with divergent views on the issues that are being raised. We don't deal with homogeneous views, there are divergent views, and as government, we need to get some balance from that. Amanda Dotmobi, I don't know what else you do. I'm not very sure whether you also do educate your constituency about how budget works. That's number one. And two, the fact that the question of limited resources, that government itself has got limited resources. COVID has hit our people, but it has also hit the coffers of government. I think that's important, that as you interact with them, also the educational part of it, the question of many wants and limited resources that the government must deal with. While still on that one, for instance, if you are listening to COSATU, one of the things that they've said is that about 50% of the population of the country receive one type of a grant or the other. Again, government trying to provide a safety net, ensuring that we also assist our people. That's one. And two, about 50% of the budget of government goes to what we call social wage. What goes into social wage? It's health, it's education, it's the social grants that we're talking about. It's employment interventions that we're dealing with. So that's about 50% of the budget. That ideally the government would like to give much more grants than what is happening. But is that reality now? I'm saying that about 50% of our budget goes to social wage. So I'm saying as you interact, why is that important that our citizens should know that 50% of the budget goes to social wage? It's important because we want, when our people are sick, they're able to go to the clinic, they're able to go to hospital, and they don't pay. So its government must ensure that that happens. Why is that important? It's also important that our people should know that our children must go to school, and the free fee schools where people are not paying anything, because as government we want to prioritize education so that our people are also self-reliant. It doesn't end there. We want our children, when they go to school, they be able to get something to eat, so that we do provide food at schools. With the advent of COVID, you know that as government, again, we are providing vaccinations, as you know, which are costing us a lot of money, but again, trying to save the lives of our people. You remember, we started with the elderly, again, prioritizing our own people. The democratic government, when I grew up, the older people would know, I don't know whether you young people know that there was apartheid in as far as social grants are concerned. Our grannies would only get their grants after 2 months. That's one. And again, it was the lowest for the Africans when it came to getting those grants, but they will only get those grants after 2 months. Why I'm raising these things, I'm saying that this government has tried to meet our people halfway within the limited resources that we're having. There's no doubt that with more, they can be able to, they'll do more. Again, the question of RDP houses, these are the houses which are also provided by the government. We haven't reached all the corners, but there are people who you know very well that before they didn't have shelter, but as we're talking today, they have shelter. I'm saying, as we interact with our stakeholders, especially Amandla.mob, it's also very important to give our the old people that picture, so that they should not think a government is not listening to them. Kuzokwenzakalani if uhulumeni uyaqhubeka or so imali kahulumeni ayithola ayanele, uhulumeni uyaphuma ahambe ayoboleka izimali. Uma uboleka izimali kufanele ukhokhe interest ukuthi uboleke izimali. Njengoba sikhuluma nje manje, isikweletu sikahulumeni about 20% we-budget kahulumeni ikhokha isikweletu. Kuyakuhambe-kuhambeke njengoba kwenzeka nasezindlini ukuthi uma iy'kweletu zakho sezikhulu kakhulu bese liyafika ibhange lithi hhayi sesiyathatha zonke izinto. So njengoba sizama ukunika lezi zidingo ezikhona, into eyenzakalayo siyazama ukuthi kube yithi siwuhulumeni thina base-South Africa, kube yithina esikwazi ukwenza lezi zinto. Kuney'nhlangano kuyibalisa imali ezifana nabo-IMF nabo-World Bank. Uma ungasakwazi ukukhokha iy'kweletu, ziyafika zona zithathe futhi nina njengohulumeni walelozwe anisenazo. Izinto zokuqala esazi kuba uyithatha bangeke sizithole sikuleso simo, siyokwazi ukuthi into esifana nama-grant, into abaqala ngazo lezo bayisuse. baqhubeke phambili bathi ayikho le ndaba yeyikole ekufundwa mahala baqhubeke phambili bathi ayikho le ndaba yokuthi uzoya emtholampilo mahala so ke into lezama isingafiki leso simo ngoba sifuna kube yithina esikwazi ukuthi noma kungekho kungako sikwazi ukuthi sihlukaniselane kube khona abantu abakwazi bathole lokho esikutholayo manje so it's very important that as we interact with our constituencies it's very important that we should also tell them about this reality nokuthi uhulumeni uyaziboleka izimali ukuze akwazi ukuhlangabezana nezidingo zakho kodwa isikweletu uhamba uze ufike endaweni ethize njengoba nje nasendlini ukuthi yena akuyakhamba ukuthi ayichasa kwazwe usukweleta kakhulu ebese bayafika mhlawumbe bazokudlela indlu bazokudlelana asifuneki ukuyithola sekuleso simo njengohulumeni waseSouth Africa uyinto lezama ukuthi siyibalansise as we're dealing with these things I'm saying these things mainly to amandla.mobi ukuthi yena bazi ukuthi we try within the constraints to meet izidingo ingacreateke impression kubantu bakithi ukuthi hayi uhulumeni unawo le mali kodwa nje ukuthi akafuni ukuthi ukunyusa izimali abantu abasicelayo uhulumeni but having said that and thank amandla.mobi for notaring to raise these things with us but we expect those things to be raised within this reality Honorable Saru Pen has also said that there are many people who are involved in this budget. Noma kugcina ku Minister of Finance, kugcina ku leli committee elikhuluma ngazo lezinto. Kodwa I cabinet iba involved ibheke izinto eziningi, kungene nama province, kungene even no local government through SARGA kuthiwa sibalansisa kanjani lezinto esifanele sizenze njengohulumeni. Ikuphi singakwazi ukwenza kulonyaka, ikuphi ngeke sikwazi ukwenza. Ikuphi ezozama ukwenza ngonyaka ozayo singekwazi ukwenza ngalonyaka njengoba kuyakwenzeke nasemakhaya ukuthi sithe hey ingane ithi ayisifuna lokhu sithi abantu bami asikwazi like how sikwenze lokho manini siyokwazi mhlawumbe sikwenze ngonyaka ozayo so nokumeni ke indaba zama-budgets zisebenza kanjani I thought I should raise that yeah but I have raised issues I think I did ask those questions and other members have raised the answers and I will ask Kosat to start and then allow amandla.mobi to come in Kosat please come in
sure no thanks very much Kuma Chair I think thanks to honorable members for the questions I mean I think largely we're kind of on the same page I think to honorable Mlenzana look I think we must appreciate I mean any sober person must appreciate the huge fiscal challenges facing the state. There's multiple demands, multiple crises we must address, from vaccines to rebuilding the state, to dealing with corruption, to growing the economy, to giving relief to the poor. It's a difficult one. So I think we have sympathy on that front. I think we've also tried to appreciate where government has responded to some of our own proposals, COSATU, for example, the Presidential Employment Program, which is something we had engaged with Treasury and the presidency to expand. So I think we must really appreciate it's a good gesture on their part. I think it's going to have a good impact to create some jobs, get the economy growing, give some people experience and salaries, et cetera, and to help recapacitate the state. Chair, I think that it's difficult on the budget cuts, and I don't have any simple answers. I think we do appreciate some departments must have got a lot of fat in it, to be honest. As a former government official, I would know that all departments have got money they can squeeze out of it, which wouldn't affect their capacity. apologies, Comrade Chair. That's Murphy's Law.
It's fine.
sorry, my apologies, Shenge.
Slow down.
Take your time.
Yeah. At least, Comrade Chair, it's a virtual meeting, so even if I might have flu, I can't be a risk to yourselves and to Comrade Peters and her grandchildren. I might just make sure I don't cough and irritate members. so I think, Honourable Chair, to Honourable Mlanzana, so we focus on departments where we felt the cuts might have an impact upon government's ability to provide services, not all of them. And I think we were quite concerned about the Department of Trade and Industry, which I really felt has really done well as a department for many years. It's really one of our excellent departments, if I can say that, to supporting manufacturing, industrial, because you do that, you create jobs, you know, and you lessen the dependence of people on the state. And I think we also fearful about, you know, cutting the SRD. I mean, it was a complicated debate. It's not an easy thing. Given the impact upon the poor, I think as Amandla.mobi, and I think as members have all eloquently said, I think also, Komitsha, you know, we have been quite passionate about CCMA because, you know, we are a trade union federation and it has an impact upon workers. But we also feel that CCMA is facing a huge pressure of increasing demand, but we're cutting the budget. And it's a small drop in the ocean. 100 million rand cut to CCMA is devastating, but to the fiscus is barely even lunch money. It's very small. But I think Honorable Mzana is right to say, what does Treasury do about departments which don't spend the money, like basic education or sanitation? And you can't just give money because there is consequences. It means you're starving other departments which could have spent it, of that money. It really is a political and a management failure. And there has to be some consequence management to those ministers, to those DGs, etc. And of course, you know, Parliament is well placed in that regard. But also, I think Commissioner Mlazana is right to say, we also need to have a solution, which is around capacity intervention, especially around PRASA and basic education. I think those are the kind of really the big weak spots. There is a need to redeploy. I think we also try to lead by example as COSATU at NEDLAC, and it's a very small budget of about 50 million. So it's pocket change for the fiscus. But we've managed, Comrade Chair, in the last year and this year to save about 20% of the budget each year simply by not traveling. Last year, we gave the money back to Treasury as they requested. This year, we said, can we give that money to CCMA as a gesture of solidarity? So we think there is a need for that discussion. And we've been discussing also with our comrades who sit on the CETA boards. Do they have space to give support to CCMA, for example, as a CETAs, where they're not going to spend money because you can't have that? So we must also assist Treasury in that regard as well. There is a real problem, Comrade Chair, of fiscal dumping and wasteful expenditure. I mean, in the previous MTEF, you had about 13 billion rand allocated to building head offices for six departments, including a consulate in New York, almost a billion rand. Doesn't make sense, given our crisis, you know? I don't think we can tell someone in Nongoma who must build a nice new department in Pretoria when she just sees poverty. Honorable Peters raises a good question. And as always, Honorable Peters, as a former SECO leader, likes to ask the tough questions. So where will the money come from? Because she's right. You can't continue this debt, debt trajectory. We can't go the route, Comrade Chair, of what happened to Greece or Ireland, where the IMF would come in and impose a very brutal solution. And to be honest with you, public servants will suffer the consequence. And many of the gains of post-94 around the social wage would be lost with the IMF intervention. So we must resolve our issues ourselves. And so I think Honorable Peters is right. Look, there's not an easy solution because you can't print money. But I think there is fundamental areas where you can do well. I think one, we must appreciate the new Commission of SARS, who I think really is doing excellent work to rebuilding SARS. I think we're starting to see the turnaround there. We think there's a need in the budget to give more support to SARS. I mean, this year, Commissioner, they've employed about 500 additional specialists, which I think we're starting to see the fruits of it. We think, Commissioner, there is some space for Treasury to look at some tax loopholes. One major gap we think is on customs enforcement, where the majority of customs duties are not collected. And simply if we give SARS additional staffing, they can increase the customs enforcement rate from about 5% of goods to 100%. That would give money for the state. It will protect local industries and local jobs. It would also, Comrade Chair, protect the DTIC's investments in industry by stopping that, you know? So I think, Chair, the only space we would really see on new taxes would be on some of the wealthy, like on inheritance duty, estate duty, etc. But I think for us, the more critical one is around investing in SARS, lifestyle audits, as they want to do, etc. The other ones, Comrade Chair, to Honorable Peters, it's tough ones, and I know Treasury will always say, yeah, COSATU is easier said than done. But of course, it's the hard questions of addressing corruption, wasteful expenditure, reprioritizing. It's about getting our SOEs back on the feet, especially the big three of ESCOM, Transnet, and PRASA. Because also, Comrade Chair, those ones are key to growing the economy. We had made our proposals, Comrade Chair, around the wage bill because we don't want to be seen as COSATU just complaining, not offering possible solutions. We think there is some space there that protects workers and helps the state. But Chair, there also is some other intervention in the economy that government could look at, like the blockages, like the mining licenses. There was about 10,000 mining licenses backlog in the Department of Minerals. They managed to reduce it by half now, working with the Minerals Council. So I think it's those kind of things, if you do it quickly, Chair, of course, the other key thing is about saving companies. Because if companies remain open, they pay company tax, they employ workers who pay income tax or VAT. We think on the stimulus front, Chair, and it's very difficult, but we need to see something from the fiscus. But of course, the DFIs and the private sector banks will also come to the party. We are supporting Treasury's proposed amendment of Regulation 28 to allow pension funds the right to invest in infrastructure. I think we've all been discussing this, at least in the movement, for many years. We think this is a welcome compromise and a welcome opportunity, which can really help inject money into infrastructure, et cetera, where pension funds choose. Of course, the other way, to Honorable Peter's question, I think all of us must just simply vaccinate. If you vaccinate, we can go back to work. The economy can grow and the state can collect revenue, you know? So those are things which we can do in our ordinary hands. To Honorable Asaropeng, Chair, so why we're proposing the single collective bargaining thing is to benefit workers, that's true. It's easier for us to have one wage negotiation than have 100. But we think it'll also benefit the state, and we think it's going to save the state money. Look, it's not an issue of shutting down the state, because the state is already unionized in the entities, the SOEs. What we're simply saying is that let's have one wage regime, one negotiating process. It can help to reduce some of the disparities you see within government. For example, Comrade Chair, you have managers at SABC who none of us would know any more than the President of the Republic. Doesn't make sense. At ESCOM, you had a management headcount which jumped from 80 to 800, earning above 2 million rand. I know Treasury's got some appetite for it, and they've indicated to us they buy into the idea. But we think, Comrade Chair, it will assist us, because we don't want to see the state broke. If the state goes broke, workers suffer. We think it'll make it easier for government to budget, and to remove some of the bloated parts in the state. But it will also affect savings. Like, for example, you shouldn't be having a variety of state pension funds. Have one single one, you'll save costs there. Same with medical. On the ESCOM issue, Comrade Chair, there hasn't been a tripling of the staff count. It increased from 32,000 to 47,000. It's now down to about 44,000. We had ESCOSATU drafted an ESCOM social compact, which was signed by government and business and labor net like last December, where we said we are willing to assist the state to reduce the debt burden at ESCOM. You would know that the PIC, Comrade Chair, has already invested 104 billion rand in ESCOM through government bonds. We said let's assist in saving ESCOM as our most critical national economic asset. On the wage bill at ESCOM, we simply said, look, you can look at freezing posts, you can look at redeployment, you can look at reducing the management headcount, and if you do some of those things, it'll start to address that front. You could even look at redeploying staff if there's a surplus of staff to municipal electricity departments where there's a shortage of skills. We've also said let's look at investing in maintenance, new generation capacity, a just transition, etc. So, because we can't afford it, we didn't want to sit Comrade Chair just as COSATU and say, we'll complain and not offer solutions or assistance to government. And we took a lot of flak for it, Comrade Chair, but we thought it was correct to defend a national asset. Honorable Kaiso, I mean, I think basically on the SID, we think one is that you can't afford for 8 million people to be sitting at home. I think the violence in KZN and Gauteng, leave aside the criminal aspects to it, but it fed into a sea of poverty and hopelessness and despair. and we have a history of violent protests. Every year you'll see someone burning a school because of a road issue or something. But we think it's affordable, Comrade Chair. Let's keep it. Let's see how we can enhance it to the food poverty line. But of course, Comrade Chair, the real solution is to create jobs. You don't want to be a society where half the country is dependent upon the state for grants. They don't want to be dependent on the state for grants. It's not dignified. But in the meantime, let's assist people and leave no one behind. Honorable Dikhali, I think we must applaud government, and we agree with Madiba, the minister. It's a huge achievement to have 60% of the budget on the social wage. And whatever our irritations with government, the ANC, and it's good to box each other, that's a huge achievement, and we mustn't lose sight of it. That is a thing built since 1994. Sorry to be a propagandist, Comrade Chair, but I think it's something we must appreciate. And I think we must appreciate with all our fights with Treasury that the doubling of the presidential employment program over the next 3 years. I think we've received very positive feedback on that from unions. I think we must appreciate the minister and the previous minister, Comrade Mboweni, responding positively to our pension relief proposals. And we hope Treasury will bring that to Parliament in February. I think one frustration, Comrade Chair, is that we don't often see a sense of urgency in government around fixing the ticking time bombs like Transnet, Prasa, Eskom, corruption, the economy. And we had made a point about elections not to remind members of painful results, but to say we're running out of time. You can't fix things the day before the next elections. We must fix it now so that people can see the benefits of us cleaning up, irrespective of our political party T-shirts, Comrade Chair, because all the parties now are ruling parties nowadays, Comrade Chair, even some smaller parties you never heard of. I think, Comrade Chair, just getting to the last two questions, to Honourable Peters, it's a difficult thing because we don't have a capable state anymore. It's collapsing, if I can be a little bit crude. Many things you see is fragmenting. The post office, SABC, Danel, Prasa, is very worrying. These challenges are existential without being alarmist. But I think all of us must play a role, as Honourable Tupua is saying. We've been mobilizing our members all the time to blow the whistle on corruption. The fact that in Eskom you have 5,000 people implicated in forensic audits is an alarm bell for all of us. And I think all the unions at Eskom have been trying to deal with it. We lost two Samu shop stewards in Limpopo who were murdered, assassinated when they exposed corruption in VBS. But we must continue to do it. It's a difficult thing. We've seen in the schools the teacher learning ratio rising. This is why SATU was so keen on the employment program at the presidency. We've seen the headcount decreasing. But I think also, Arnold Peters is right, management must manage. If I misbehave as an employee, management is empowered to hold me accountable. I think other thing we're trying to do, Comrade Chair, is other units are trying to assist. You know, for example, SACTU clothing workers is very active on the buy local campaigns. We have engaged with the School of Government, but I think there is a need to do more. And then, Comrade Chair, just the last one, sorry I talk too much, to the chairperson, Honourable Boudelezi. I think on many issues we would have consensus, and I think we've seen in this past 18 months a huge amount of consensus from us as labour unions, even with our colleagues in business that NEDLAC on many issues in government. What would a stimulus plan be? We had welcomed the 500 billion rand stimulus package announced by the president last year. We think there is some space to revive or create new ones. The Banking Association Treasury is working on a new type of loan support for companies. We hope that can be ready soon. I don't think we'll have more money from the Unemployment Insurance Fund, Comrade Chair, but we're trying to engage. But I think because we've spent from UIF 63 billion rand in this period, which is about 45% of its assets, benefiting 5.5 million workers, it was the right thing to do. But I think the other part of the stimulus would be extending the SRD. Can we reinforce DTIC's financing programs further to support to companies like IDC? And of course, Comrade Chair, you will find from COSATU that we will be supporting the infrastructure program of government, which is quite a useful thing, and you know, allowing pension funds to invest, et cetera. I think, Comrade Chair, Chairperson, you're right about the rollovers in basic education and transport and local government. The only thing I can suggest is for us to hold the leadership, the ministers, the DGs, the mayors, accountable. There has to be some consequences because it's unfair to other departments which need the money to be denied this because others are engaging in protecting the territory, so to speak. I think, Comrade Chair, let me stop there. I mean, I think I made the point that you raised about the social wage when I went into my propaganda moment. But thanks very much, Comrade Chair.
Thank you so much. Ms. Siopa Amanda Totmopi, please come in.
Thank you, Chair. May I please request to keep my video off? I'm having network trouble.
Perfect. You may continue, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. First of all, thank you to all and honourable members for their comments. I think I will start with Honourable Mlenzana. I'm not sure if I understood your question well about the participation of the Gogos in the census, but what I can tell you is that the presentations that you just saw are from Gogos from the Pietermaritzburg Forum. And I can guarantee you that there are a whole lot more organizations formed by Gogos to mobilize and fight for their needs. So some of these Gogos have access to these kinds of spaces, some don't. Some would like to participate, but are unfortunately unable because of health issues and so on. So the few Gogos who are able to speak and who are able to access our platforms such as these speak for each and every pensioner in this country. I would like to move on to Honorable Peters. Thank you so much for your comments, Ma, and for relating to the struggles and the needs of the Gorgos. Now, with the question of where the money will come from, so this is not the first time the Gorgos have been asked this question. And if you ask me, I think it is one of the most unfair questions that you could ever ask the Gorgos, because first of all, the Gorgos and every person living in poverty in this country, they are not at fault at the state the economy is right now. It is not their fault that there are no jobs, that food is expensive, that accessing medical health care and other public services is problematic for other people. So when we ask them where the money will come from, I think it is only fair to also tell them where the money went to, because trust me, we read the news, we watch the news, we see reports every day about millions or even billions of public funds that are misspent and unaccounted for. So what we did then is we asked, make plans to tax the rich so more funds can be raised to fund services such as this. And there are also concrete plans by the Institute for Economic Justice and the Budget Justice Coalition. And also part of the reason SARS raised the money to return the 350 grant, which we acknowledge, by the way, Honorable Buthelezi, was that the additional funds for SARS was to go after the wealthy. So if taxing the rich had happened earlier, if we had a net wealth tax 5 years ago, would we be in this situation? Honestly, I do not think so. And on the issue of people misusing grants, I think we must be careful not to point fingers at certain household members as the reason for misusing money, when we have people like Gorgos struggling and when we have wealthy people and big businesses having been hiding money overseas to avoid paying tax and so on. But I can guarantee you that the Amandla.mobi community is made of many people who are in need of these grants, many people who are suffering, many people who live in poverty, who live in low income backgrounds. So while we do not dismiss that, yes, there could be something like that happening, there's also the reality that a whole lot more people actually do really need this money. I think the call to increase the 350 grant is just an example enough, because like Kosati has said, nobody wants to survive on a grant. Nobody wants to survive on 350. But to show that it is really making a difference to a lot of people, this is why a lot of people are asking that while they wait for other things to be done, for things to be changed, please assist them, keep the grant and increase it. And now moving on to Honorable Sarupen. Thank you so much for the comments. Let me clarify something to you, Honorable. When we come into these spaces, we do not come with the mindset that certain people can make certain decisions, nor do we tell our members or members of the public that if we send messages to these six people, they will be able to change things. We do, however, make them aware that people in spaces like these could help influence decisions that are best designed for the lives of the people. This is why you find us presenting to the Finance Committee, to the Appropriations Committee. We did the same thing last year. You find us engaging with the DSD. You find us engaging with the presidency. The public engages. You need to understand that the public engages, but things do not change. So it leaves us no choice but to look at other ways to apply public pressure. So whenever there's an opportunity to come in and speak as the people, we will do so. Now, moving on to Honorable Dikgale. Thank you so much for your comments, Ma. And I think I should say that we completely agree that the good deeds must be mentioned as well. And this is why when last year, when COVID hit the country and we asked for an increase on the child support grant, we did tell our members when that happened that, hey, the government topped up the child support grant with 500 and all other grants were increased as well. That is a good thing. We celebrate that. Unfortunately, if things do not keep getting better, there's no way for us to keep quiet. Even if the government says they're trying, things just keep getting worse. And if things keep getting worse, it is our job to keep putting pressure and asking for things and making demands. And I think this also goes to Honorable Buthelezi about, you know, acknowledging that we did ask for the 350. Yes, we did. We submitted signatures to the presidency at the union buildings earlier this year, and the 350 grant was brought back, which is a good thing. But one thing that remains is that it is still not enough. Poverty is high, unemployment is high, things are expensive. It means there needs more to be done. So on this question of many people being involved with passing the budget, it is not just you. Yes, we know that, we acknowledge that, it is very true. But what you don't understand is that for the general public, you as parliamentarians are collectively responsible for passing anti-poor budgets, failing to raise revenue from those who can pay more tax, and failing to address corruption. So if you are feeling public pressure, you must explain to people why you passed anti-poor budgets. And also remember that the poor majority have historically not been heard at these public hearings. I can tell you that even I, growing up, I had no idea that spaces like these exist. So you can imagine that there's a whole lot more people who do not know that spaces like these exist. We get tons of messages from our members when we tell them that they have an opportunity to speak to the relevant people, and we allow them the spaces. We tell them, send us messages, and we can't play all of them, but at least we will play some of them and hope that they will make a difference. Parliament can't outsource public consultation and public education to Amandla.mobi and other civil society groups. You have the resources. As Amandla.mobi, it is not our job to teach people of the government's shortfalls and tell them, hey, feel for them. However, it is our job to tell them that, do you know that if this and this and this had been done, the state of our country wouldn't be like this? Do you know that if we ask the presidency or treasury or parliament or DSD, we ask them to do this, we ask them to get funds by taxing the rich, we ask them to do this and this, they have the power to make sure that these kind of demands are implemented. So if you think we are only pressurizing you, that is not true. Like I said, we go to treasury, we go to president, we go to DSD, we are also engaging them. Yeah. I think I'll just end it there. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Siopa. Before I let Comrade Matthew and your good self off, because want to listen to you. Comrade Matthew, the point of transfer pricing, that is where companies, especially in the mining sector, they've got some parent companies offshore. They sell things at below the market price to a parent company, and they declare huge profits in some other jurisdictions, robbing South Africans of what is duly theirs in terms of tax. What's your comment on that one? Because I think former President Thabo Mbeki is on record to say, as a continent and even as a country, we're losing billions and billions of that. But we don't hear you as workers who are extracting this wealth saying anything. Or perhaps it's an exaggeration when I say you say nothing. But I'll say making enough noise about this. The question is, the commodities are being traded in London, in Switzerland, and many other countries. What would it take, as far as you are concerned, to make those trade take place here? Because trading takes place somewhere else, but gold, coal, and everything is mined here. And straight from here, doesn't go to London. It goes to, those commodities go to their destinations. Long story short, what's your comment on transfer pricing and base erosion and profit shifting? Ms. Siopa, coming to you, again, I think all of us have got the responsibility. Those of you who are learned, who interact with our people, ourselves, to give out information to our citizens. The country has invested in you, your parents has invested in you. So as government, we never outsource that responsibility to anyone. But we are, it, again, I think it would be wrong to say it's only the responsibility of the government. We think as responsible citizens, we all have that responsibility, especially you who's dealing with this sector of our community, which we appreciate. By the way, Ms. Siopa, you know that you submitted your things late, and we could have just said, no, don't allow Amanda.mobi to come in. But because we value what comes from you, we had to be flexible and allow you in so that we interact. So there shouldn't be an impression that we don't want to listen to you. We more than we bend backwards to make sure that we interact with our own selves. But there's also a responsibility from all the citizens to empathize and say, here's the situation, and share with whoever we're dealing with. That's why I made an example of, and I think a comrade mate also came in, that whatever we do, we should be responsible for our destiny and not allow the IMF or this world to come in and reverse all the grains, that all the gains of our democracy. So I'm just saying that at no stage should an impression be created that we don't want to listen to you or as government in whatever form we outsource this responsibility. But I just wanted to see what Obokoko spoke about, and which is correct, electricity, which is expensive, water, and so on. But we've got other things, for instance, where we register indigents in different communities so that they are eligible to some free services when it comes to things like electricity and water to a certain extent. Do Abokoko know about these things? Thank you. Comrade May, to start, then I'll allow Mrs. Siopa to come in.
Okay. Thanks very much, Comrade Chairman. Without becoming a shop steward for Parliament, but I would say Parliament is open. That's been my experience, at least, having been in this space for some time. I think, Comrade Chair, one of the benefits, and it's ironic to say that, of COVID-19 has been, I think Parliament has really opened to the entire country, because now you can be sitting in Toyondo and you can participate in Parliament. You don't have to fly to Cape Town at huge cost. The sitting of Parliament now is academic, because to me, that's a positive thing. And in fact, Comrade Chair, even beyond the pandemic, I would say we should remain with a virtual Parliament to an extent, because it really democratizes it. Whether you're sitting in Tumbaba or wherever, you might be a member of Parliament, sorting out grandchildren in Kimberley. It's there. It makes it life easier for everybody, including members of Parliament. But Chair, we would agree with you. Irrespective of whether we support the ANC or we support the Freedom Front Plus, we need to have collective ownership. We're one country. If Eskom doesn't work, it affects all of us, irrespective of our T-shirts. And we need to have some common sense, pragmatic solutions. And I think most of us do agree on what needs to be done. We must acknowledge the achievements, and I think we must also say, how do we fix the problems, what works and what doesn't work? But yeah, I think without me becoming an abongi for Parliament. But I think, yeah. So I think, Comrade Chair, you are right. We would agree with you on the transfer pricing issue. And I would agree with you that we haven't done enough work as COSATU on it. We've raised it many times, you know, the issue of illicit outflow, etc. I mean, I think we all appreciated the work that the former president, Comrade Mbeki, had done. But I think we're all collectively guilty, I mean, at least plead guilty in this part. We've not done enough to come up with practical solutions, what is done to fix it, you know? Because it's fine to complain, but what are the practical solutions we can offer to government, to SARS, to address it? I mean, we had opposed, Comrade Chair, and I think we've seen in hindsight, sadly, we're right, not to support the offshore listing of some of our big South African-produced giants. They've gone to London, to New York, and they've been very small players there. It meant some job losses here in the head offices, but it also meant, as you're saying, South African money flowing overseas. Not that you can close the borders, but some of those companies were built by South Africans for 100 years. And I think some of them are now seeing the mistake and coming back as well. I think, Chair, and maybe you've given me homework. So when it comes to our next engagements in February with the budget, let us come with some practical proposals, because I know many of our affiliates have also raised it quite sharply, Nahau and many other affiliates, SACTU, this issue of offshore, the illicit outflow. But I don't think any of us, if I can be honest, have come with real practical solutions. And I think we must make it easier for SARS. I think SARS, you have a good leadership. but we must give them good solutions. And I think also to Treasury, and I think Treasury would agree with us as well, what must be done. Obviously, we must do it in a way which recognizes the WTO agreements and all of those things. But I think also, Commissioner, one thing we've felt collectively as a nation is around the issue of beneficiation. We've all been giving lip service to it for many years, and I don't see any progress. I think, you know, from the previous Minister of Commerce, Rob Davies' times, it is always a mantra in our budget speeches every year. But I can't see much progress in that regard. And of course, that also means the Minerals Council as well must also be play a role, you know, and come with practical ideas, because I can't see any of us being opposed to it. From workers, we are keen to see local jobs. Government is keen to see collect taxes from company, from income tax, from VAT. And of course, local businesses are keen to make more money. And so I think we all have the same common interest, if I can put it that way. So let me plead guilty there. So Commissioner, just on the last point of that thing, I'm not sure if members are aware. So there is a company's amendment bill, which left NEDLAC like recently under DTIC. It does speak to a little bit to the issue you're raising, where it will require companies to disclose the full shareholders who owns the company. It doesn't address the full point which you're raising about illicit outflow. The reason why that's being put there, I think, is about threefold. One is to your United Nations terrorism money laundering issues, to avoid that. I think the second one is to ensure you don't have fronting, which is the BE issue. And of course, you know, the issue of corruption, state capture, that you might think this is an innocent company called Simoye, but you actually find out it's owned by myself and it's getting contracts from where I work in government, you know. Doesn't address your full issue, Comrade Chair, but I think it might be a useful step in the right direction, or at least lay a bit of a foundation. And ironically, Comrade Chair, on that last thing, on that one, the Minister of DTI, Comrade Patel, did correctly reprimand us as COSATU for not coming up enough in public to defend that bill, because that bill has been under severe attack from many people in the private sector. We think incorrectly, because it's a progressive thing to say, let's have transparency, not just in government, but also in the private sector, etc. I mean, as part of rebuilding the country. But yeah, thanks very much, Commissioner. And I'm glad you've given me your homework, and we must come with some real solutions, because I know next February you're going to say, Matthew, what are you proposing here? And I'll be in trouble. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you. So it won't be a good Christmas for you. Hard work. Ms. Siopa, do you want to come in?
Yes, just to keep it short, thank you, Honourable Chair. And we do acknowledge that you let us participate, although we submitted our submission late. Solely because, yeah, it was, I'm not sure what happened, but it was hard to find any information on the public domain about the meeting like we did with the Finance Committee. But anyway, it's fine. We appreciate having us here. Now, about the GOGOS on the free services for indigent houses, I imagine that some GOGOS do, but also there's also an issue of public knowledge. So it is also, again, that point that public comment and participation is limited to other in other areas in this country. So a lot more people do not know about it. I'm not an economist, so there are some things that I really cannot speak on because I do not want to lie or just give false evidence. But what I can say is that there are a lot of expert recommendations on illicit financial flows, you know, made by the likes of AIPC. So I think it would be fair to say it's time to implement these. And more so than ever before, governments around the world are also open to collaborating to address illicit financial flows. Other than that, thank you so much for having us and listening to the messages of the GOGOS and also other members of the public. We appreciate it and look forward to engaging with this committee and other committees as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Siopa. Let's continue engaging. And as I said, we really appreciate, because we don't want this parliament to be esoteric, so to speak, to be for the rich and so on. It's always good to hear about Gogo Bekuluma, Gwana Ngokwa. So We really appreciate that somebody goes out and listen to them and facilitate their interaction with Parliament through these committees. Thank you so much. That takes us to the, you can remain on the platform. We're very open committee, but if you need to rush somewhere, we can definitely excuse you. Thank you so much. Then, honourable members, let's deal with the minutes. Just a second. Let's look at the minutes. Honourable members, the minutes were sent to us. Can I refer you to the minutes of the 23rd of November, 2021? And can I have a mover for the adoption of those minutes?
I propose adoption.
So moves. Yeah. I hear Matafa move. Kaiso, to second.
Yes, I second, Chair.
Thank you. The minutes of the 23rd of November 2021 duly adopted. Honourable members, I refer you to the minutes of the 24th of November 2021. They are also sent to us. Can I have a mover?
I move, Chair.
Honorable Kaiso moves for the adoption. Seconder?
Matafa second.
The minutes of the 24th of November 2021 adopted. Can we go to the 26 minutes of the 26th of November 2021? Honourable members?
Matafa moves.
Honourable Matafa moves for the adoption of the minutes of the 26th. Seconder? Minutes of the 26th of November 2021, Matafa moves. Do I have any seconder for the adoption?
A second, Chair.
Honourable Kaiso, seconds for the adoption of the minutes of the 26th of November 2021. Honourable members, that takes care of agenda item number 4. Can you go to the next item, Darren?
Chairperson, yes, announcements. In terms of the approved program for the committee, we were supposed to adopt our two reports, MTBPS and Adjustments Appropriation Bill, on Tuesday, the 7th of December. However, subsequently, we found that the NCOP is only adopting the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill on Tuesday morning. Therefore, we will not be in a position to adopt our reports before that. So I've spoken to the chairperson, and he agreed that we should apply to the House chairperson for our meeting to be postponed until Wednesday. I have since received an email from the Office of the House chairperson approving our application to be for our meeting to be postponed from the 7th to the 8th of December. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, all members. I think that's clear. We couldn't adopt our reports before the finalization of the process of the NCOP. So we don't have a meeting on Tuesday. Our next meeting will be on Wednesday morning, where we'll be adopting the MTBS report and also the amendment appropriation bill report. Okay. All members, this takes us to the end of the meeting, but thank you so much. See you on Wednesday next week in our meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.